River of God, the river of his anointing. Thank you, Brother Ken. What a great show that is on right before us here on 1340 AM. TAN Talk, 1340 AM. We're glad you joined us. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area, you can also listen on the web. And we are video streamed on the web right now. You go to TANTALK1340.com and push the listen button, and you can actually see me here in the studio. And my guest today will be joining us on the phones instead of here live. And sometimes that happens, and that's the miracle of technology. And we're glad about that, that we have that opportunity to have guests that phone in, and that's a great thing. It's a blessing to be doing God's work and serving the Lord. And we have had such a crazy, blessed day at Beacon of Hope today in our service and everything that God is doing. We've also had some situations that have been painful for some people in our body of believers, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. But just know that God is moving in people's lives. God is here. He's present. He is able to meet your needs, whatever those are. And God wants to talk to you today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And that is where our ministry is based. That is our home church. And then we have a global outreach through this radio station and through other avenues of outreach. And so if you've just joined us for the first time, maybe this first time you've listened to Living the Good Life, we're all about the Word of God. That is what Beacon of Hope is about. Our slogan is this, and it has been for 9 years, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. You see, it's all about God's Word. It is all about God's Word. And God's Word teaches us truths that give us the ability to cope with life's situations that come our way. Today's show is about that. Some of those situations that come our way that are very painful and difficult, and we wonder how we are going to face tomorrow. And so we're going to talk nitty-gritty about that, the fact that there are a lot of things in life that bring a lot of pain and bring sorrow. And we're going to talk about the answer, God's answer. And perhaps you are one of those today that is suffering. Perhaps you are one that is confused or alone, maybe feelings of loneliness, and maybe you've been abandoned. Maybe you're someone out there that is wondering, where is God anyway? It doesn't seem like I feel his presence. And God wants to be very strong in your behalf today. He wants to move in your life. God wants to speak to you. Now, maybe you've been one of these that's grown up kind of churchless, if you know what I mean. Not really in the stream of the Word of God, not really understanding why that was important. But then you're into a place in your life where you say, wait a minute, I've got this need and this need and this need and this whole section of needs in my life, and I need answers. And perhaps you're at the place right now where you can hear God's answers for your life. No matter how much you are hurting today, God does have encouragement for you. He has comfort for you, and he wants to speak to your heart. So today, that is going to happen for you. And we're so glad you've joined us. We have the new stations up in the Arkansas area. Actually, this show is live in 7 different states. Is that correct, Engineer Bill? 7 different states. Is that correct now?
That is correct. That is called 880 KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas, that covers 7 states.
Fantastic. Okay, plus then just the Tampa Bay area that we have here. So, you know, that's a big area that we are covering live on the radio. And then some of you listen on the internet, which is a way that we are global and around the world. So if that is happening and you're on the internet listening to us, that is great. One more opportunity for you to catch shows from Beacon of Hope. And that is our website, which is, thanks to you, Engineer Bill, is why we are able to give this to our listening audience now. We have the ability and have had now for several weeks to have our shows that we do, like this one today, will be up on our website by sometime tomorrow afternoon. And they stay up there. They're still up there, all the shows from 2010. So when you need an encouraging word, you can hear a live, actually, they're recorded now. This is live, what I'm doing right now. But when you listen to it on our website, of course, it's not live, but it's the same thing as being there. It's you've got all the great music and everything for the show. So we welcome you to check out our website at beaconofhopeministries.com. Beaconofhopeministries.com. Go there. And in the middle of the night, if you can't sleep, this is a great thing to do. Get up and turn on your laptop or your computer and listen to a Living the Good Life show, and you'll be encouraged and blessed and have some fresh word down on the inside of you. So that's beaconofhopeministries.com, and then go to our radio section of our web site, and you can access the shows. This is actually show number 177, Bill. Number 177. Wow. All right. And that's the result of over... there we go. I should have known you would have that whole gang of listeners back there clapping. Yeah. three plus years on the air here on this station. We love this station. They've been great to us. And we love our listening audience. You can contact us and me personally at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. I'm not taking emails today simply because I'm in the studio alone, but you can actually write me an email and I will answer you. pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. We are going to talk today about getting our strength renewed. I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of hard things happen lately, and maybe some of you out there have too. Today is going to be your day to get your strength, you know, just rise up within you, the strength that God has for you. And we're going to teach you about that and talk to you about it. And our first song is one of my favorites by Phil Driscoll. It's an old song. It's been around a while. It's a great song. Wings as Eagles. Listen.
Haven't you heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he's not weary, and there's no search in his understanding. He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. And they'll mount up with wings like the eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. They will mount up on wings as eagles. They that wait upon the Lord will renew. Strength.
will renew their strength. They that wait upon the
Praise God. And that is so true and brings me to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. I was preaching out of this morning. I want to go back there and talk a little bit more about it. Isaiah 40, starting actually more like verse 27 or 8 in your Bible. If you have it there and you can join us, that would be great. We love it when you follow along in your Bible. Isaiah chapter 40, about verse 28 or 29. And this is what the Message Bible says. God doesn't come and go. God lasts. L-A-S-T-S. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out. Aren't you glad to know that God doesn't get worn out like we do? We do. We get worn out. We get tired. We get tired with life. We get tired physically. We get weary emotionally. And this scripture says he does not get tired at all. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. He knows everything inside and out. You know he knows you, by the way. God's word says in Psalm 139 that he created you. He knew you in your mother's womb. He knows everything there is to know about you. That is God. He knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired. Now, we're going to talk about this whole subject today because I believe that a lot of times fatigue and weariness emotionally and spiritually really get the best of us. And we get to a point where we are fainting almost. Have you ever fainted? Have you ever actually just fallen down and passed out? You know, maybe there's been a shock happened to you or you were sick and you passed out. I had that happen one time to me when I was a kid. It is not a good feeling to faint, to pass out. You know, you're blacking out and you can't do anything about it. That's a weird feeling. Emotionally and spiritually, this happens to us a lot of times. We get tired. We almost black out. It says here in the Message Bible, God gives fresh strength to dropouts. Now, you may be in that category this morning or this afternoon where you feel like you've almost been a dropout in the things of the Lord, that you've just maybe just not been with it for a long time. You know, there's a lot of people like that. They go through life and they go to work and they have a social life and maybe they have a relationship they're in and they have family and all these things. But when it comes to God and their spiritual life, it's like it's on the back burner for their life. It's not like right there, present, and so, you know, right in front of their eyes. It's like it's just back there somewhere. He energizes those who get tired. He gives fresh hope to dropouts. Some of you may feel like you're dropouts today. For even young people tire and drop out. We just heard that as Phil Driscoll was introducing that song. Even young people can get tired and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God, wait upon God. We're going to talk about this in just a moment. Get fresh strength. Now, I'm going to say that sentence again, and in the New American Standard that I memorized it in a long time ago, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And I love it said that way. But in the Message Bible, it says, those who wait upon God get fresh strength. And I guess fresh strength is about the same as renewing your strength. And so that's why it's translated this way. In the Message Bible, those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. Oh, we have a lot to talk about on this subject. Is Michelle on the line?
I'm
Pastor
here.
Michelle? All right.
How's it going?
Hey, it's going good. Didn't we have a good day today at church?
It was a really good day today. Great message, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I felt like God was really speaking to our hearts. I felt like people were getting it. You know how sometimes, and you taught Wednesday night, so you understand, Pastor Michelle, how it feels when you feel like nobody is understanding, you know, what you're saying, you know, not getting it.
I mean, I know, it's the old banging your head against the wall, and it's interesting because Catherine and I were just talking about, like, you know, your bill it's one thing after another, you know, you get all this anxiety because all these things that you have to do at work and you feel like you're spitting in the wind. And,
yes.
I guess I'm going to be full of analogies today.
That's
but,
all right.
You know, you get, and then, you know, you leave work and you're driving home and you're full of this anxiety and you
yes.
feel beaten down. Then you get home and you're like, oh, my God, I got to cook my dinner and I got to take care of the dogs, and then, you know, I gotta prepare for some guests that some friends that we're having come over tomorrow, and then I have to
yeah,
it's just a worn out, beaten down thing, and your strength is completely depleted, our human strength.
And it's not that our physical strength a lot of times is depleted. I mean, that happens when we work in the yard and we, you know, drive the tractor and plant seed corn and, you know, or, you know, the things that, you know, you and I don't do. But, I mean, you know, when we talk about physical strength, I don't think that's where most people get bogged down.
It's all in you. In fact, I really think mental/emotional strength is more exhausting than physical.
Oh, I so agree. But don't you think that at the time we're going through it, we don't realize how exhausting it is sometimes, you know?
No, you know what? It's kind of like being on one of those amusement rides, like a roller coaster, or they have those crazy slingshots and stuff.
Yeah.
And you just go so fast, you don't even realize how fast you're going
yeah.
until you stop, and then your brain bumps your forehead.
Ooh, that's not a good feeling. That is exactly, Michelle, why I don't get on those kind of rides any longer. I hate it for my brain.
Don't you think that's how we are with our emotional and mental exhaustion?
Oh,
and not
yeah.
until we sit down, say, lay our head down on our pillow, get ready to go to bed, and the whole day rushes and, you know, comes to a stop in our brain, and it's like one of those wheels that go...
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Over in our head, and we're like, oh, my gosh.
And you can't get to sleep, or the worst for me is when you wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning,
yeah.
you know you're up for the rest of the night. That's it. You got this on your mind, this on your mind, this on your mind. And, of course, the best thing to do at that time is to pray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know how your mind does. It wanders to this stress and
yep.
that problem and this, and how am I going to do this? And I think a lot of people listening to us today, Michelle, can relate to that kind of stress that we all live in, don't you think?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's why praying and even just music, that's the best
yes.
thing, you know, worshiping
yes.
God through music is so powerful because that'll get you to a place where you can actually pray. But yes, going through our lives and with all these things, we just feel like we don't have time.
Right. And it just gets to you, you know, and you begin to think, okay, I'm beat down. I don't know why I'm beat down. And I really believe that this show today, Michelle, is going to bring fresh hope and fresh understanding to our listening audience. And that by the time that we are done with this show today, there will be those that will receive God's fresh strength for their lives today. That's my prayer. That's what I declare right now.
And I'll give you an amen on that one.
Okay.
Because I believe there are people out there that are lost saying, oh, my God, you know, handful of groceries, the kids pulling on their shirts and the dogs jumping on them. And they're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? I'm so overwhelmed. That's it. You just feel overwhelmed.
Yes. You know, I was feeling that way. You know, we had a wonderful family dinner today at church, and, you know, I'm rushing around and getting one of our people back to the nursing home and rushing home, taking the dogs out. And I get back in the car to come to the radio station. And I love it. I mean, absolutely love doing the show. I never, ever think, oh, I wish I didn't have to go. I so look forward to this. But I got in the car and I'm driving down the street and I realized I needed somebody to pray for me. I just felt that very strongly right then. I picked up the phone and called Carol. She'll be on the air with us next week. And I just said, Carol, I just feel overwhelmed right this minute. You know, I just feel like, she said, well, I listened to Dr. Charles Stanley today, and he was teaching on Isaiah 40:31.
Oh, no.
And I said, no way.
Oh, my God.
I said, that's what I taught on this morning. That's what I'm going to be talking about this afternoon. And by the way, Dr. Charles Stanley's a friend of my uncle, which is kind of cool. But anyway, she was telling me some of the points that he was making. And I said, that's what I was talking about at church this morning. That's what we need to talk about today. And I find it fascinating, Michelle. You and I have seen this happen over and over again, that the Spirit of God begins to say something across the body of believers, no matter where your church is or
right.
or where you maybe if you attend church on TV or wherever you or maybe some people
the
listening.
Radio.
The radio show is their church. You know, God begins to say something, a concept. And it's fascinating to me how this goes together and dovetails together, how the Holy Spirit is saying right now, yes, I realize this world is chaotic. Yes, I realize economically it is a mess. Yes, I realize you're all under a lot of stress. This is what I feel like God is saying, Michelle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but my word says, those who wait upon the Lord will get fresh strength. They will spread their wings and soar like eagles. They will run and they will not get tired. They will walk and not lag behind. What do you say about Isaiah 40:31, Michelle?
What I say is I'd like to draw everybody's attention to Isaiah 40:28.
Okay.
Have you, and I'm reading out of the Living.
Okay.
The New Living.
All right.
And it's saying, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth, he never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding.
Ooh.
He gives power to the weak, strength to the powerless. Even youths become weak and tired. Young men will fall in exhaustion. And then it goes into, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength.
Yes.
They will soar high on the wings like eagles. And they will run and not grow weary. They will walk, not faint.
Wow.
And that's what I say to it. It's his strength. And once
yes.
we recognize that and we recognize it's not our strength, you know, and I keep thinking as you were going through that, I think of that old footprints.
Yes, yes.
Written by Anonymous.
Right. yeah.
I wonder what Anonymous's last name is, by the way.
I don't know.
Anyway, Anonymous. Anonymous.
Right.
So anyway, I think of that because it really is very profound, and that's exactly what it is. It's that one set of footprints is
yes.
him.
Yes.
It's him.
Carrying us through the hard times.
Right. And, you know, in our humanness, we can really identify with that because it makes it real. It makes it, like, gives us an actual image
yes.
to put our you know, mind to, and it is. You know, once we're so depleted, and unfortunately, a lot of us allow ourselves to get so depleted.
Yes, we do.
Like when the air goes out of a balloon.
Right.
You know, instead of catching it before it just barely goes out, then you have to blow the balloon up all over again, and you lose. You know, you get head high, you know, air high, you lose all your air, and
right.
It's exhausting to blow that balloon up twice. But if we catch it when just a little bit gets out,
ooh,
that's how we need to be with God. You know, it's so much easier to put a couple more breaths in a balloon than blow it up again altogether.
Oh, that is profound. I follow you, and I think that is so. So break that down for us, Pastor Michelle, on a daily basis. How do we sometimes get ourselves into situations where all the air seems to be out of our balloon? And can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, here's the example. You know, you just blew up your balloon, okay? You're really
right.
Feeling high. We just got out of church.
Right.
We just had a wonderful service.
Right.
You know, we're doing radio, and radio is always uplifting.
Oh, it is.
Listening to it because it's an extension of church.
Right.
In our case, and in many people who are listening out there today, it is their church.
Right.
So you're getting jacked up. Okay, you're like, woo, I know God's there for me. I know God is my strength. So my balloon is full.
Right.
Okay, and it's flying. It's
yeah.
flying, looking beautiful, you know. Just supporting itself. And then Monday comes, and your alarm doesn't go off, and you're running late. Anxiety builds. Then
right.
you get in your car, and you're getting in traffic, so you're even more late.
Right.
And then you get in your now at that point. The air is starting to come out of the balloon, right?
Uh-huh. Good point.
It's a slow leak.
Yes.
So, you know, you have it pinched off with your fingers. I hope everybody's getting this little visual.
Yeah.
Okay, you didn't tie it off. You pinch it off. Air's leaking out.
Right.
At that point, you should be blowing some air in there.
Yeah, there you go.
So at the point when, you know, like you're in traffic, instead of getting all crazy and nutty like I do, I will confess, it's like you go, oh, Lord, please, you know, I'm having some anxiety. You
right.
know, I need your strength right now.
Lord, right.
Show me what I need to do.
Yes.
Or this great song comes on or says, you know what, turn on your radio to one of the Christian music songs. Put
Amen.
On one of your tapes, your CDs,
right.
rather.
Yes, yes.
Okay? Blow up your balloon. But instead,
right.
what many of us do, we allow that air to seep through.
Yes.
Okay? And then, you know, you have the anxieties and the frustrations of a work day, and then you get home, and that's Monday. And then Tuesday, some other challenging obstacles present themselves. And then Wednesday, and each time, the balloon is
yeah.
slowly but surely losing all its air.
Exactly.
So by Friday, your balloon is just sitting there limp.
Yeah.
With just the air from whatever in there, when we should have been putting that air each time it was out, it was let out, we should have put it back in with praise and worship and just talking.
Yes.
You know, God,
talking
I'm really
to God,
angry man.
Prayer.
I don't know what to do, but show
yes.
me something.
Yes.
Have somebody come into my life. Have somebody call me. Maybe who should I call? I need to pray. You know, I need some wind in my sails.
Right. Exactly. And so often, Michelle, people get to a point, and we've all done it, where as the days go on, we feel less inclined to worship God. We feel less inclined to open our Bible because we are beginning to be beat down here now. And we're losing all of our strength, like you said, like the balloon. I love that analogy. And we, as we lose the air, as we lose the power of the Holy Spirit, as it begins to leak out, we need to restore it. But so often the devil now is suggesting to us, you know, all you need is a vacation. You need to go to Hawaii. Or, you know, you need to not go to church this Sunday, let's say, because I hear people say this, because you're just too tired.
Mm-hmm.
If you just slept in, you know, till noon, you'd be okay.
Right. And the reality of that is the longer you sleep, the more tired you become.
That's what I hear.
You know, and I mean that physically and
uh-huh.
mentally.
Right.
The longer you sleep, i.e., putting off getting into the Word.
Right.
The
spiritually sleep is what you're talking about.
Spiritual sleep.
Right.
The longer you sleep, the more of a hole you put yourself into.
Right, right.
And, you know, I was a victim of this week because it's the end of the month, and I'm like, wow, I have not even cracked open my Bible. for like the last few days.
Yeah.
And it's because I had to do this and I had to do that and I'll do it then. And then something else came up and da-da-da, you know, that kind of thing. And it's easy to put off.
Right.
So,
and it's easy to just get down that path of I don't want to say the word laziness, but it's the only word coming to me. Complacency, I think, is a better word.
Complacency and laziness, because,
yeah,
you know, that's, you know, I think it is a harsh word, but it's a real word, you
yes.
know, because we get lazy because we're exhausted.
Right.
It's that, you know, it's cyclic.
And we are exhausted because we haven't renewed our strength.
Exactly.
And we haven't waited on God, which we're going to talk about. You know, what does that really mean? And part of that waiting on God does not mean that you just have to leave work, go home, shut yourself up in your closet or, you know, your bedroom, lock the door and just sit there. It really involves you participating in the waiting. Does that make sense to you?
It does. It really does. And I like how you said that. And just to let you know, is Catherine's on the other line now because she's going to have some input.
Okay.
But, you know, where there's a perfect example between she and I is when she's feeling down, you know, we're fortunate to have each other.
Yeah.
You know, I'm there, okay, you know, remember this, you know,
right.
And, you know, what we just talked about on the radio or what I just read, you know, for that Bible in a day. And it's interesting, those Bible in the days always lead me to another scripture. And I'm like, wow, this is really fitting what I'm feeling right now.
Right.
And, you know, when I'm feeling down and out, she does the same thing. Don't you think, Kat? Yes, I do. Hi, Pastor.
Hey, Catherine. How are you, girl?
I'm good, but I'm thinking this is speaking to me here.
Is it?
Yes. You know what I'm thinking of listening to you guys talk about, you know, getting the strength and getting the strength back. Michelle's waving at me because I guess you hear some background here.
I can hear some background.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, let me see if I can get it off.
Yeah.
Sorry, you guys. Technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties, yeah.
Yeah, I'll get it off.
Okay.
Just one second. See, these are the challenges you're faced with, and this creates anxiety. This is a perfect practical example, isn't it?
There you go. All right.
Okay.
I think we're good now.
I think we're good. It's off. Yeah, I'm thinking about overscheduling because I think that when you're active and you try to maybe, you know, I guess in simple terms, you spread yourself too thin.
But yeah, that's a good point.
What I've noticed with me is, you know, I'm scheduling and I'm trying to do all these things, and then I get to the point where I just have to stop. That
right.
You know, it's
right.
It becomes to the point where if you're not taking the time to get that strength, that you just all of a sudden feel like you're not doing good at anything. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, and you beat yourself up, don't you think? You
yeah,
can get into
right.
a cycle there.
You want to be obsessed at everything you do.
Yes.
But if you're scheduling and you have yourself running in too many different directions, you're not really being effective anywhere.
And it's easy to get ourselves involved in all kinds of stuff, don't you think? I mean,
right.
and not
this
that
is,
these are bad things. I mean, things that we all do and where we
yeah,
go and our hobbies
yeah.
and our social events. No, nothing wrong with those things. It just, there has to be a balance there somewhere.
Right. And that's what's hard to find. And I'm thinking of some of my friends, too, that, you know, spiritual or not spiritual, sometimes they don't even realize, you know, what they're doing to themselves because it's so easy to say, oh, yeah, you know, I'll go to the Rays game with you on this night, and then we're going to go to the play the next night, then we're going to go to this opening the next night, then we're going to go here. And pretty soon, every night of the week, you're booked for something.
Right.
And then where's your time,
exactly,
you know, to be strengthened?
Right.
And I think it's, you know, the devil knows it. The devil knows, you know, you want to be popular, you want to be invited to things, you want to be doing a lot of things. And it's very easy to get caught up all in that, and then the next thing you know, you're kind of a crab apple because...
Crab apple?
Yeah.
All right, crab apple.
You know, you get crabby because
yeah.
you're not taking that time to renew your strength, so...
Exactly.
You get yourself sort of in a vicious cycle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And not that these activities or whatever aren't good for us and fun, but we have to learn to carve out that time with God, don't you think?
Exactly. Oh, yes. Because, you know, all these things are facets of our personality and things
right.
we need to spend time on. But when you aren't doing the downtime also, it's like it just becomes not as good.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a dog that's visiting you, Catherine. It must be Henry.
Okay. I think he's, yes, Henry. Henry says hi.
Henry says hi.
He needs some strength, too.
Yes, he does. He's such a sweet doggy.
He wants his food, his dinner.
Oh, okay. Well, I find it interesting, Catherine, that this verse says that, you know, and Michelle went back and read this, people get tired, it says, but God never gets tired, you know? God never has to stop and catch his breath. And I find that great because God is just waiting for us to make time in our schedule for him. It's not the other way around.
Right.
You know?
That's the cool thing.
He never has to make time in his schedule for us. He's always there for us.
Yeah. And, you know, that is really important to know because it's not, God is always there.
Right.
He always has time for us.
Right.
Which I find very interesting because I think he has a couple of more people to be overseeing than we do. But he's always there for us.
Yes.
And that we can't carve out a little bit of time for him. After all, he's the one who's given us eternal life.
Exactly.
I mean, we can show a little gratitude.
Absolutely.
Well, not only that, I just can't wait for the time when we don't have all these other distractions. You know, we, unfortunately, in our humanness, we
right.
have these distractions. You know, we have to work, we have to pay our bills, we have to possibly take care of a family, whatever anybody's situation is. We can't get away from that.
No, you can't.
But someday, we won't have all that, you know, pulling us in so many different directions.
But in the meantime, these are real life circumstances, you know,
mm-hmm.
real life that you have issues that keep you from. And I think what God is trying to say here is somehow the relationship, our relationship with the Lord has got to be so important that we learn to wait upon God to renew our strength and realize that we can't do it in our own strength. We can't renew our strength. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Did I make any sense there at all?
It really does because, you know, honest to God, if we want to put it in a, like I said, you know, an example of our everyday lives, it's what I said about Catherine and I. Sometimes, you know, you just feel so beaten down. So, you know, Catherine has some struggles at work. I have some struggles at work. And you just feel like, you know, you said it in church today. She's like, you said, oh, my God, if just one more thing happens, I don't think I can do it.
Right.
You know, and then we come home, we're like, you know, this is what happens, and we lift each other, you know, in our humanness, we lift each other up. But can you just imagine how much more God can lift you up?
Oh, I think that's what we're saying here, that we can exhaust ourselves trying to bring us ourselves out of the pit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, we can wear ourselves out. I see a mental picture right now of a person in quicksand. I've never been in quicksand, and praise God, I hope I never am. But I've seen it on TV, right? I'm not a person in quicksand, but I've seen it on TV. You know what it looks like? It, from the pictures, it doesn't look like it's a fun place to be.
No. You're stuck, and then you exhaust yourself from getting out of it.
Right. Well, and you're a swimmer. You're a swimmer, and
mm-hmm.
What happens when somebody's trying to drown? Trying to drown.
I mean, very interesting because
trying
a really
not
good
to drown.
Analogy, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
First of all, no one's ever trying to drown.
Okay. Thank you. See, I told you I was tired.
Unless you're going through a little whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, as a lifeguard, that's one of the things they teach you is that when someone's drowning, you know what happens is they forget to use their legs.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And that's one of the main reasons why you drown, because you exhaust yourself trying to get above the water with only your arms.
Oh, wow.
You're in such a panic, you no longer use your legs. And that's why a lot of times when they're in severe distress, we're taught as lifeguards to dive under and come from underneath them. And
okay.
not to worry about getting kicked because they don't use their legs anyway.
Okay.
Now, let me translate that over to, you know, losing out God. We forget to pray.
Yes, yes.
So we forget to pray because we're in such a panic and we're trying to, you know, put out these fires that we use the use of our legs. We forget to pray.
Yes.
So we start drowning.
Yes.
And that's why I thought it was a great analogy.
Woo.
We just use our arms and then we get so exhausted, we drown.
We drown. That's a great place to take this song. And then, are y'all staying with me?
Oh, absolutely. You
all
know
right.
where we are, girl.
Yes. Matt Redman, When All Is Said and Done. And then we're going to come back and talk about the drowning principle.
Life's too short to be lukewarm. This I know. This I know. Jesus, you can't have it all. My every breath, my every breath. I need your power to live this life. This I know, this I know. I can't do this by myself. You're Christ in me, my only hope, my only hope. As I walk this broken world, tune my life to heaven's song, for I am yours. And when all is said and done, tune my life to heaven's song forevermore, forevermore. I need your power to live this life. This I know, this I know. No, I can't do this by myself. You're Christ in me, my only hope, my only hope. As I walk this broken world, tune my life to heaven's song, for I'm yours. And when all is said and done, tune my life to heaven's song forevermore, forevermore. Lord, as I walk this broken world, tune my life to heaven's song, for I'm yours, I'm yours. And when all is said and done, tune my life to heaven's song.
Praise God. When all is said and done, I am yours. And that is what it's all about. Isn't that a good song by Matt Redman? I never heard that before. Yes. Okay. We are talking about the drowning principle today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope. We're talking about how so often we feel that we are drowning emotionally, sometimes spiritually, that we feel like we can't take any more. Maybe it's financially. This is tough economic times in 2010. And sometimes we feel financially we cannot take any more disappointment or any more problems earning a living or job-wise or whatever. And today on Living the Good Life, we're telling you that God has an answer for all of that, and that those feelings are not what God wants you to be feeling. And there's an answer, and there's a way to come out of that. Catherine, did you have a comment on that drowning principle?
Yeah, I think what it would be really good to get into here is, you know, we can't not have these situations,
right.
You know, like you said, the tough financial times right now. And, you know, I don't think what you're saying is that can all go away,
no.
You know, with God. It may not necessarily go away. We
exactly.
are in really you know, serious, lots of people right now, serious financial struggles.
Yes.
But I think what you're talking about is you can come through it.
Yes.
And you can have peace through it.
Amen. That is what I'm talking about.
You cannot let it beat you up. You can let it, you can't let it overtake you. You know, it's like, if you think of it like the drowning, you know, drowning is a real good, great analogy that Michelle had, because we know that when you drown, you die.
Right.
So there's, that's the outcome of that.
Right.
But with, you know, an illness, a cancer, a financial disaster in somebody's life, emotionally, that can kill you too.
Yes.
And I think it's exciting to talk about here is, like what it's saying with the strength you can get,
yes,
in Isaiah,
strength,
which you read earlier.
Yes.
How can we help people tap into that?
Exactly. That's it. You hit it. You hit the nail on the head.
Mm-hmm.
Because these life experiences are a part of life in 2010. You know, it's different than life was in 1990. You know, things are different now.
Right.
And not necessarily all for the good. You know, we have a lot of things pulling at us and pulling at us for our attention and our time and our, and all these struggles that people are going through. In fact, I wanted to mention here that this morning very early, we got word that one of our people's daughter-in-law was killed tragically last night.
Right
here in our Tampa Bay area. It was a very, very sad event.
Very sad.
And tragic, you know, left behind a little 3-year-old daughter and all of this, you know. Mm-hmm. And you look at these things and you say, God, what is going on, you know? And then this afternoon, I got a call that one of my good friends, his nephew was accidentally shot and killed last night. And so you look at these things and you say, how can people recover from these kinds of tragedies?
Right.
Right.
You know, what do we do? Where do we get our strength? Why do we emotionally cope? How do we spiritually cope? That's what I'm asking you, and I'm picking your brains, because God's word says here, those who wait upon God get fresh strength. It doesn't say those who wait upon the God get all their problems removed instantaneously,
no,
bam, and they win the lottery. It doesn't say that. It says they get fresh strength. So,
do you think it means, when it says fresh strength, do you think it means strength to beat these circumstances, you know, come out on top of these circumstances and not let it take you down? Is that the kind of strength it's talking about?
I think it has to do with emotional strength and spiritual strength. I think that we get so bogged down, we get so defeated because circumstances are coming at all of us in every angle and every direction. And I think the strength God's wanting us to have is the ability to keep on going and not give up.
Yeah.
You know, the ability, for instance, if you use the analogy of the gym, and when you work out, you know, people get really, really tired lifting weights, let's say, you know,
mm-hmm.
working out. Why do they do that? Because they know that even though there might be a momentary real tiredness when you lift 250 pounds or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you do.
250 pounds.
Yeah, well, it's not me. I'm talking about you, Michelle. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying? When you actually do that bench press or whatever it is you do, you at the time, it just feels like, I can't do this. I'm exhausted.
It's true. And you know what it reminds me of? How Gatorade was developed.
Let's talk about Gatorade.
Because it was a professor at the University of Florida.
Mm-hmm. Gators.
And the Gators, right? And, you know, the football team would just go out there and just, the first half, they'd do really exceptional. They're playing, they had energy, and they were hitting, and they were scoring and everything else like that. But the second half is where they'd lose the game.
Right.
So this professor developed this Gatorade drink.
Yes.
That replenished all the electrolytes.
Right.
So during the halftime or throughout the game, they would drink and replenish.
Right. That's it. Perfect analogy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So
yeah.
So that's what's happening with God. And God's sitting there. And, you know, that's the thing is, you know, You can sip your Gatorade throughout the day. You know, I work out in the sun, and you know, I've been, you know, close to a heat exhaustion where I'm like, oh my God, I'm just so exhausted. I don't know if I can do one more pool. And it's because I haven't been drinking consistently throughout the day, so I get worn out. But I found that once I make it a point, after these three pools, I drink a bottle of water to my next, as I'm driving to my next pool, and I'm constantly replenishing my fluids.
And water is symbolic of the Word of God.
See?
Okay, let me ask you, Catherine, you're the scientist among us, and Michelle, you have that knowledge too. So when you are drinking Gatorade, because the label says that it's going to be good for you and replenish your electrolytes, you choose to believe it. Do you see those electrolytes doing anything in your body?
They just go,
no.
Whee! No, I don't see that.
You don't,
I don't see it.
But you don't see it.
That's right.
You don't see it, right?
Yep.
No.
And you're taking it really by faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the analogy I used when I was preaching today about Wi-Fi, do one of you, or Michelle, you want to share that, what I was saying this morning?
Just when you go into anything, now Dunkin' Donuts even has it. A Dunkin' Donuts, a Panera, you just open your little laptop and you say, you know, connect to, and you push a little button that connects to, and then boom, it connects to the internet. You don't see a little Wi-Fi coming in and connecting
right
to your computer. It just happens.
But you're told that if you take your laptop to Dunkin' Donuts, that you'll be able to connect to this whole stream of information that we can't see flying through the air, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we've all gotten used to that. That's just pretty normal for us.
Yeah, right.
You know, we just take it for granted. Hey, I got Wi-Fi. Yeah, I got my phone. Yeah, I get emails right here on my phone just walking down the road, you know.
Yeah, and even us sitting here on cordless phones.
Right. Totally amazing. And we accept that as normal. We accept that as truth because people have told us that about Gatorade or they've told us that about Wi-Fi. And yet, I propose to both of you, people have a hard time believing that God can actually supernaturally, I'm going to preach here, I'm sorry, I'm getting excited about this, that God can supernaturally reach down and strengthen us emotionally and spiritually. Now I want your comments.
Well, here's my comment, you know, playing the devil's advocate.
Oh, go ahead.
Is, okay, so yeah, when I stream into Wi-Fi, I see the result right here. I see my internet window up. I see my video stream. I see your video stream of Pastor Marsha on Cantalk 1340.
Yeah.
I see it.
Okay.
I see. When I drink my Gatorade, I may not see what it's doing internally, but physically, I feel it. Physically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So where's the result? Where's the result when I'm reading this book they call the Bible?
Right.
Where's that come in?
Catherine, you want to comment on that before I shoot her down?
Well, I'm just thinking out loud, brainstorming with what she's going on here, and I'm thinking that, like she said, she feels the outcome of Gatorade because
right
she drank the Gatorade, now she's got energy. I'm proposing that if you're reading Scripture, learning the word, growing closer to God, you're going to feel the power.
Amen. That's the right answer. We're going to shoot her down with that right there. Because what happens is...
I'm glad I had the right answer.
You had the right answer, Catherine, and you know we don't plan these shows, so, you know,
no.
that's God. Okay, what happens is you start to read the word, and you read a scripture like this, okay? Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Okay? And God's word says that his word never returns to him void. It doesn't not do. That's three negatives? It always does what it says it's going to do. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the word wait there is, in the original Hebrew, it means hope in, expect, and look patiently for. So when we begin to hope in God, We begin to expect God to move in our situation. We wait patiently and look patiently down the road for him to bring the answer. We're expecting the result. It's like you expecting there to be a connection when you turn on your laptop at Dunkin' Donuts.
Right. Well, I'll continue to help put the bullets in my theory here. You see miracles happen around us. Mark and Kim and Marla.
Yes.
And soon Leah's going to be a part of that.
Cancer that list. Healing of cancer.
Of healer.
Yeah. Yes.
Healing and financial prosperity.
Yes.
You know, what happened, you were relieved of a great burden last year, a financial burden.
Yeah.
You know, many people are relieved of financial burdens on a daily basis. And it's, you know, people could very well say, oh, well, that's just how things are going to happen. Well, not necessarily, because it doesn't happen for everyone.
Right.
You know, and those are faith builders, as we keep talking about, and they're to glorify God.
Yes.
So when we see that happen, it builds your faith, and when we see the word, which leads us, like what happened today, when we're feeling, you know, a particular feeling and discouraged and burdened with something, it's interesting, the more you get in the word, the more you're led to the word that you need to see.
Ah, wait a minute. I think you need to go back over that concept. Because when you're in a dry place where the word is concerned and you're not taking it in, you're not taking time to listen to it or read it or hear it, what happens to you in a dry place? And then what happens when you start coming out of the desert?
Well, there's a parable there, right, of the seed.
Yes,
where,
of course.
Where it grows.
Right.
And nothing really grows that well in a dry place.
Right.
And
or on a gravelly path. That's one
gravelly,
of them. Yeah,
yeah.
Or weeds,
path.
You know. But when you're in good soil, and how is your heart in good soil that you can begin to receive the fresh strength? That's my point I'm trying to say here.
You submit. You surrender to God and you start reading.
Ah.
Because, you know, the beauty of it, and I'm going to share this personally, is, you know, and I would bet that I am definitely not the only one that feels this way. The Bible was very intimidating to me.
Okay.
Because of the language, the verbiage, the everything.
You grew up in a church that really did not encourage you to get in the Bible, right?
No, and actually, I didn't even really grow up in a church.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why.
the teaching I got was, I was very fortunate in that my father and my mother both were like, you know, there's a God, and Jesus Christ is your Savior, and, you know, I would learn things through them.
Right.
That kind of thing. But because of their experiences in the church,
right,
Catholic Church specifically, they were turned off,
right,
by religion, not God or Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit, nothing like that, but they were turned off by religion. So
yes.
I didn't really grow up in a church. So when I did open the Bible, I'm like, I have no idea what that's saying. I felt like I was opening up a Spanish book.
Right. Wow.
You know, I'm like, I have no idea what they're telling me there. So obviously, I don't have a connection with God here.
Yeah.
Because this is obviously only meant for Spanish people or Latin people or
right,
whatever language this is in, right?
Yeah.
And I'm being facetious, obviously. But
right.
It's very intimidating. And praise God, there's so many different versions out there now, you know, for different levels of learning,
yes,
or comprehension and that sort of thing. But once I started truly getting into it, and Catherine bought me this wonderful new one. I've had a couple of now, but this new one, it's the New Living. The Message Bible is really good because it's easy to read. It's like reading a story. It's like reading I don't even want to say a novel, because it's a book of short stories.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's easy to understand, and you're beginning to grasp those concepts, right?
Absolutely. You grasp the concepts, and then you can identify with the characters.
Right.
In that.
Wow. Catherine, what do you have to say to all that before we go to our station ID here in a couple minutes?
I think that, you know, there's a word for you. When you get in to a Bible study and you're reading the Bible, I think you're going to find, like I have, that there's a word there that gives you strength. And it's not just Isaiah. It's, you know, pretty much every week when I go to Bible study, whatever, whether you're doing Acts or John or wherever you are,
right,
there's a word of strength that comes out of that.
Amen.
Somehow it's either emotional, you know, physical, with, you know, a lot of healing we've seen at Beacon, but there is encouragement. And almost, even what we were doing last week, it was Proverbs.
Right.
There's encouragement to be found there.
Yes.
So frequently in the, you know, Proverbs and the Psalms and the New Testament books of during Jesus' life, there's stories that give you encouragement. And it's something you don't want to miss out on, because we all have these things, stresses, let's call them, that come to us.
Right.
And you need armor to get through it.
Oh, you so do. Hold that thought. Hold that thought, Catherine. And I'm going to ask you to talk about Bible study in just a moment. We got to do the station identification right now at 5 o'clock.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are a global ministry based in Clearwater, Florida. We are so glad you've joined us today. If you just now are joining us at the 5 o'clock hour, of course, I'm talking about Tampa time. I think that's Eastern Standard Time, right?
Yeah, right.
Right. Okay. We actually come on the air at 4. Some of our literature has said 4:30, which is what we used to be, but we have taken on an extra half hour because we enjoy it so much and because Bill, our engineer, likes us so much. Yes. And so,
hi, Bill.
And so we're on from 4 to 6 now.
By the way, is Bill listening?
Yeah, Bill's right here. He's got
just
his little ears on.
I saw himself doing a little boogie before the show.
He
was dancing in there.
He was.
With
yes.
The previous
guess what?
Brother Ken.
I could put on my boogie woogie shirt.
He was boogieing on down. To,
yeah.
That was some,
I saw him jigging around, was moving his booty around.
He was. He was doing that. He was so excited for Living the Good Life to come on the air.
And I got a T-shirt now. I have a T-shirt.
True. Brother Ken has some good music, too, though. You gotta give him some props.
That's right.
Some good music coming on just before Living the Good Life.
That's right. I finally brought Brother Bill here a T-shirt today. So he
thank
now has
so
a bright yellow Living the Good Life T-shirt.
Good. We forgot to remind you. Glad
yes.
You remembered.
Yeah, I remembered how somehow. So anyway, no, we appreciate all that Brother Bill does here. He's a great engineer, and we love having him right here in the studio with us and getting the music up on cue and everything that we do for this show. And it's fun. Girls, don't you enjoy it? And I miss you, too,
yes,
here in the studio today. You're usually here with me.
It is fun.
Yeah,
it
really
it's
is.
It's kind of a small, you know, it's, the church service is great and Bible study is something different, but that radio show I've really gotten to enjoy. It's kind of like our time to just really get into a little deeper into a topic. It's great.
Yeah,
I,
like coffee table talk. Is that what you call it? You know, we're just sitting around the living room. And,
yeah.
Yeah, we miss being there, too, because,
yeah,
you know, it's just really, I mean, Catherine and I are in the studio. Where are you, Pastor Mark?
Yeah, wait a minute. I'm here. Where
oh,
are
yeah,
you?
That's right. You know, I do want to give a big shout-out to Arkansas, the Little Rock,
yes,
Arkansas. We love those listeners out there.
Yes,
thank you for all the
amen,
great feedback you've given us. And
right,
we are just so happy you're part of
absolutely,
Living the Good Life.
No, it's great. And you know, we were talking a minute ago, Catherine, before we went to break here, about Bible study on Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope. And I know that there are so many of our Beacon people, we call them Beaconites, that have had to move away from our area to find jobs. There's a lot of that. And some of you listen faithfully. We're so glad you do. And I know that some of you really miss Wednesday night Bible study. Catherine, can you tell our listening audience, if they're in the Tampa Bay area, how they can be a part of Wednesday night Bible study, and perhaps soon we will have it to some Skyped or something. We're talking about all that, what we can do on Wednesday night. We'll have to pick your brain on that, Brother Bill. But anyway, Catherine, do you want to elaborate on Wednesday
sure,
night?
It's 7 p.m. on every Wednesday night, and it's really informal. There's people that actually go to the Bible study that don't go to the church service or are going to another church service. A lot of the same people from the church service, but some additional ones. And it's a great way if you're just curious about the Bible, you know, maybe have been in a church that doesn't do a lot of studying of the Bible and you want to see what it's all about or see if it's something you want to delve into more deeply, it's really my favorite part of Beacon, because I really had at some point had a hunger for knowing more and learning more about the Bible and the books of the Bible. And so it's informal. There's a lot of discussion around the table. There's a lot of layers of meaning that people bring to the forefront that, you know, will make you look at a story a different way or a parable a different way. So I would encourage anybody to go out and check it out. It's really a great night.
And you can even bring your supper, right?
Yeah. Some of us have to. If you're running right from work,
right.
There's some restaurants right in the same plaza. It's on Almerton. Did you already say the address?
No, go ahead. 3700. Go ahead.
Yeah, 3700. It's suite. Is it 206?
That's it. Right on the end.
206. And it's right behind a string of restaurants, so you have your choice there. There's Five Guys, Pancheros, and there's a pizza place, and there's a Greek place, so you can stop and grab something and bring your food. But it's a fun hour and a half discussing the Bible.
Yeah, it really is. One of our people that came last week for the first time and was back today said, well, how'd you find us? Did you find us on the website? Because that's how most of our people find us. And she said, no, I was actually driving through the parking lot last Saturday night to pick up a pizza at Papa John's. And she said, I couldn't believe there was a church right here. I stopped. God told me to get out and look at all your stuff
Praise
in the window.
God.
And that's how she found us. She,
oh, my God, that's awesome.
She
that's
just
somebody that was new that came today?
Yes, yes.
Oh, great.
Yes, came last week for the first time, came back today.
Oh,
and
great.
Brought a guest with
so
her
that
today.
Was a drive-by.
It was a drive-by.
It was a drive-by.
How about that? Isn't that cool? A drive-by.
That's great.
So she said, I got out. I looked at all the stuff you had in the window, and I thought, I think I want to come here. And so that's what happened last
Amen.
Sunday morning. Isn't that cool?
Praise God.
So that is cool. Let's listen to this song, and then we're going to talk some more, girls. And
okay.
We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 7. And this song is so cool by Russ Lee and Michael O'Brien, When Life Gets Broken, and we're going to talk about that.
Hands reaching out with no one to hold. You've been abandoned with no place to go. Wounded and wanting such desperate times. Cold bitter tears are filling your eyes. Get a glimpse of Jesus, for he is right there with you. He knows just what you need. 'Cause when life gets broken, when you're in despair, you carry your burden. When it's too much to bear, it's down in the valley where he'll give you strength. And there is nothing you have lost that he can't replace. He'll help you start all over again when life gets broken. God would heal her, but she went home anyway. Now it's hard to imagine how you make it through the day. Weeks turn to years, time's passing you by, but you're still holding on to the hows and the why. Get a glimpse of Jesus. He is right there with you. He knows just what you need. 'Cause when life gets broken, when you're in despair, you carry your burden. When it's too much to bear, it's down in the valley where he'll give you strength.
when life gets broken. Healing waters heal our troubled souls. Jesus, sweet Jesus, cleanse and make us whole. 'Cause when life gets broken, when you're in despair, you carry your burden when it's too much to bear. It's down in the valley where he'll give you strength.
Wow, down in the valley where he'll give you strength. When life gets broken, you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Catherine Michelle, I just said 2 Corinthians, and wow, that's when that song came on, I was reminded of Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, and it says this, that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses that are watching us. That's all those that have gone before us into heaven. And Paul says this in Hebrews 12, 1, strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. What do you think of those verses?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Don't you think, Catherine, that
it's
so...
It's all about focus.
Oh, it's focus. Don't you think there's so many times... Well, you're a microbiologist, and I was in pre-med in college and took micro, and I loved it. And I remember looking in microscopes many years ago, Catherine. Do they need to be in focus?
Yes.
Why?
You're not going to see anything if that microscope is not in focus. There's different lenses, and they have to be adjusted.
Okay.
Because they will be blurry until you fine-tune the adjustments until it's in focus. And it's kind of like, you know, seeing a... I can't think of an example of looking at something through water that's just blurry and you can't make out what's on the other side.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden when you do the adjustments and it comes into focus, you see exactly what you're meant to see, you know, whether it's a bacteria or an insect or a virus or a parasite or whatever it is. But that microscope has got to be in focus.
So it would be possible that you could make an error in judgment, correct? If you were looking through your microscope and it was not in focus?
Yes.
You may call something this and it's not that, it's that, if it's not fine-tuned?
Right, or you may not see it at all.
You may not see it at all.
Nothing's there when there was something there.
Okay. Tell me about that in our spiritual and our emotional lives, Catherine. And then, Michelle, you can jump in anytime.
Okay.
Okay.
if you are not focused on God, I think that you can get distracted in all kinds of way, and you're not, you know, you end up not fighting the good fight because you don't have a focus on what's really important. So you're getting bogged down with
right.
life.
Yes.
And you're not focused on God. You're not off running like that Hebrews scripture said.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, I totally agree. And it's so easy to get exhausted and weary. Michelle, what do you think about all this and those verses that I did not go to 2 Corinthians, but we went to Hebrews 12?
Well, you know, I'm glad you did, because it's really talking about the struggles and what we have been talking about, the struggles that takes our focus off
yes.
of God and
what we need to do to allow him to renew our strength.
Yes.
And I'm reading some commentary here, and I really like what it's doing is, you know, we lose our focus on God. Catherine actually kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier in the show when she said, you know, you're overwhelmed.
Yes.
You know, you overextend yourself.
Right.
You know, because you don't want to hurt feelings, just like with us today. You know, we had a commitment to the radio. We had a commitment, another commitment that just slipped our mind kind of thing, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And we overextended ourselves. And then, you know, we have to get up early in the morning for work. And
yes.
We overextend ourselves.
We do.
That helps us lose focus.
Right.
You know, the other things that contribute to losing the focus on God is how we live.
Right.
You know, are the things in our life helping us keep the focus?
Right.
You know, I know there's people out there who have, you know, gambling issues, who have drinking issues, who have eating challenges, who
right.
spending, who
yes.
who are in abusive relationships, you know. And that stuff really takes our focus, and it's really kind of, you know, what came first? What do? I have this issue. I have to focus on God, but I have this issue. How do I focus on God? And it's just like this, you feel like one of those hamsters in one of those wheels that you're just not getting anywhere. And you need to think, what is going to keep your focus on God, and to drop those things that prevent you from focusing on God, you know, like the gambling or
right.
the drinking, and find strength in God to help you stop doing that sort of thing as well. To live effectively, we must
Amen.
Keep our eyes on Jesus.
And it says there, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both
mm-hmm.
began and finished the race, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so often I think that Christians and people in general get bogged down in the race and just don't realize, oh, I got to change my focus.
Yeah,
you know, we just
right.
get, we just
it
look
is.
At the pain of the race. You know what I'm saying? Of everything
mm-hmm.
going on, and go ahead, you guys comment on that. I while you're thinking about that, you know, my dad was a runner. He was a runner on the front lines of World War II, and he was a runner. Started about age 40, he decided he was going to be a marathon runner, and he started running at the YMCA up in Muncie, Indiana, where we lived. And he ran half marathons. I don't think he ever ran a 26.2, but he did half marathons, a lot of them. And when he was 50-something, he gave himself a T-shirt that said, I ran 10,000 miles, because he logged all those miles. And he had a goal, you know. And he kept his eye on the goal, and he was doing this not just for his health, but it was just something he wanted to achieve. You know what I'm saying?
Did he really run 10,000 miles?
Oh, he absolutely did, and I still have the T-shirt that says.
I can't believe that's a lot. That's a lot.
It says on it, this T-shirt is awarded to me by me. He had put on one side, and on the other, he said, because I ran 10,000 miles. And he ran the half marathon into the Orange Bowl down in Miami when he was 57 years old. And when he did that, he got so ill because he did not replenish his electrolytes, okay,
mm-hmm.
like he should have along the way. I don't know if Gatorade was invented when that was like 30 years ago. So Gatorade, I don't think, was around. And anyway, long story short, my dad ended up in the hospital for a week. But he never, ever regretted having done that because he had a trophy and, you know, the whole shebang. You know, he's so proud of all that.
Mm-hmm. As well, you know, hey.
So that's my story about that. Go ahead.
That's a neat story because that's the victory. In fact, that's what it says here. When we face hardship and discouragement, it's easy to lose sight of the big picture.
That's right.
But we're not alone.
Yes.
There is help. And many of us have already made it through life enduring the more difficult circumstances than we have experienced.
Yeah.
I think this is kind of interesting. It says, suffering is the training ground for Christian maturity. Not saying that's what God is not putting this on us. It's just life. You know
right.
what I mean?
It's
but
just
it is
life.
A training ground.
Yes.
And it develops our patience and makes our final victory sweet.
Woo!
I'm
glad you said that.
Verse was that, Michelle? It's the commentary for Hebrews 12:3. And the actual scripture is, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people.
Right.
Then you won't become weary and give up.
Yeah.
And you
my version says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men.
Yes.
So that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Good
point. So
it's
really true. We can think of Jesus as the example. You know, when we think we've got a lot to endure. I don't think anybody would argue that we're not enduring what he endured.
Right.
And just for the listeners out there to know, in 12:1, it's talking about surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses.
Yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor Marcia, those witnesses are those who came before us, Abraham, for example.
Exactly.
You know, Jacob, Isaac, Jesus, you know, everybody, and even people that we may not even be aware of. But think of what they've endured. You know.
Oh, absolutely. And I mentioned this morning in my sermon. There's a little video clip that one of our people sent me that we are sending out to our Beacon of Hope people. And if anybody wants to see it, you just write me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com and I'll forward it to you. It is incredible, this huge painting that this famous artist is doing right now. And he's been commissioned to paint the resurrection of Jesus. And the point that I didn't finish making this morning was, in the picture of the resurrection of Jesus coming out of the tomb,
mm-hmm.
it's got all these cloud of witnesses standing around. It's got Moses, it's got Elijah, it's got Isaiah, John the Baptist.
Wow.
You got to see this. It's so cool. David and Queen Esther, all these Bible characters are standing there basically cheering on Jesus as he comes out of the tomb, the risen Lord. It is an incredible video clip that Ellen sent me. And if you want it, I'll be happy to send it to you, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. It'll bless you. I was just shouting this morning when I saw that. I tell you. And because this is reality, we allow ourselves to get off focus, to get off task, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
right? And we get bogged down in all the junk of life, and we get our eyes off of Jesus, and then the weariness sets in.
Right, yes.
The weariness sets in. Go ahead, Catherine. Did you have a comment on that?
Even a little further on from what you were reading down at verse 7.
Yes.
Endure hardship as discipline.
Yes.
You know, and it's I'm going to keep reading, but I think it's interesting that it says endure hardship.
Right.
I mean, not when hardship comes, if it comes. It's stating it like a statement that we are all going to have some form of hardship.
Oh, yeah.
At one type time or another if we are God's children.
Yes.
And this says endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons.
Right.
For what son is not disciplined by his father?
Oh, that's good.
If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. So to me, that's kind of saying that our hardships are, in a way, confirming that we are God's children.
Oh, totally.
And that we're leaning on him to endure it.
Absolutely. And they are, don't you think? Don't we learn during those hardships?
Yes. Yeah.
And but the whole point is, when we are weary, when we are struggling, when we are bogged down and we don't know how anything's going to work out, God says to run to him and let him renew our strength, to wait on him, to hope for and patiently wait on him. Michelle, do you have a comment to that?
It's hard.
We agree. Punctuation mark.
It is really, really tough to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I also recall somebody talking to somebody earlier this week saying how she doesn't like the word patience, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's, what did you said the patient is translated in hope in, expect, look patiently for. And but it's very difficult, and, you know, we've talked about this time and time again about, it's in God's time, not our time.
Right. Oh, wow. Yes.
And, you know, reality, I mean, let's face it here. Reality, patience stinks.
Yes.
You know, you just, Ashley, you know, patience is tough enough, like, for those kids.
Yeah.
They know they're getting those presents on Christmas.
Right.
And waiting for those presents, you know, that's tough enough.
Right.
When you're in a good mood and you're happy and you're looking forward to something really wonderful, blah, 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 blah. It's tough when everything's going good. But when everything is not so good.
Yes.
It's even worse.
It is.
Wait.
It's
You're sitting
hard.
Here telling me, you know, I have a broken arm in the emergency room, and I have to wait to get it reset and put in a cast, and I'm in excruciating pain.
Right.
You know, you're in excruciating emotional, mental pain here, and you want me to wait? Are you kidding me? So,
but we're being commanded here, right here in Hebrews where we are, at the end of this part, if you look down in verse 12.
Right.
Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed.
Whoa.
So it's telling us here there's going to be weaknesses, but you have to strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees.
So how do we do that?
That's the magic question. How do we do that?
You know what? I'm telling you, honestly, I think the way to do that is what we've been talking about. It's just, you know, pop in the CD.
Yes.
Surround yourself. Don't keep your eyes off the Lord. And that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you're Peter and you need to keep your eyes on Jesus while you're walking on water.
Right.
You know, figuratively speaking, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Exactly.
Have Jesus in your life. Surround yourself with people that are uplifting and edifying.
How would you, someone listening that doesn't know Jesus, how would you say they don't understand what you're talking about. How would you say to get started?
To get started?
So that you can get that strength. Where do you start? If you have nothing, where do you start?
If you have nothing, where do you start? You start by reaching out. You know, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we've given you some opportunities here. First and foremost, you got it. Here's the beginning, radio.
Right.
Radio. We've already given you an email address. If you have any questions, concerns, need any counseling, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Just because she's not in Little Rock, Arkansas, or Istanbul, Turkey, doesn't mean you can't email her and say, you know what, I'm feeling crummy.
Yes.
I need some uplifting words, scripture. First of all, reach out and email.
Yeah.
Second, you can also reach out and email by saying, you know, where can I find a church around me? Where can I find a Bible study? Where can I find the word? Email. And then, you know, use the internet. You know, we're talking about technology.
Right.
And the challenge is but the wonderful things of technology is Google.
Yes.
You know, if you don't know Christ, you know, the three things that we know is Christ came, he fulfilled prophecy.
Yes.
He fulfilled prophecy, he died on the cross for our sins, and he was resurrected.
Amen.
Okay,
Amen.
That's it. Christ is our Savior.
Yes.
That's all you have to do is, you know, I believe that Christ is my Savior. He fulfilled prophecy. He died on the cross for all our sins and sicknesses, and he was resurrected. And once we accept him as our Savior, we are accepted into the kingdom for eternity.
Amen.
So where do you learn more about that? Start emailing. We'll give you the little bit. We'll give you the mustard seed needed.
Right.
Okay? And then here's where you start. Great place to start, Pastor Marcia, you have always told me, is in John.
Book of John.
Book of John talks about Christ. And then it's like starting in kindergarten. You know, graduating, and then you start knowing where your references are. And find a Bible study.
Exactly.
You know, that's why Catherine, I believe, is really excited about Bible study, too, is because not only do you get what's in the Bible, but, you know, people come with different perspectives,
right,
different challenges. Heck, they even come with different versions of the Bible.
Right.
Look at us right here now. Pardon me, everyone.
Right.
We all three of us have three different versions of the Word.
Right.
And when I say three different versions, it's just using different words and giving us the root words of what was meant back then and putting it in now time terms.
Right.
And that's how we do. And when you surround yourself, you know, you surround yourself with people that are going to be
Amen.
That will commit to that as well.
Yes.
And maybe you're going to witness to them.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is your lifestyle.
Right.
You know, if you're living a lifestyle and you know it's wrong, ask God to come into your life and direct you, guide you into a more appropriate lifestyle that's fitting to him, that'll glorify him.
Absolutely.
And he's going to show you the answers, whether it's having somebody cross your path, coming across this radio station, show you something in the book. I mean, all kinds of stuff are out there. You
praise
just
God.
Have to just go reach out.
So don't you think it starts with a decision to not continue to live in the junk of the weariness and the discouragement and the defeat, and it starts with a decision. I need to make a change here.
Yeah,
you know,
I think so.
And it starts there. And we've got a great song, Before the Day by New Song. Are you two staying on, or you need to go?
I'm always a pleasure, Pastor.
Okay.
And Michelle, I'm gonna sign out. I
All
really
right.
enjoyed it. Great topic.
Great topic. Yes. God bless you, Catherine. Thanks so much. Michelle, if you need to go, that's fine.
I'll hang on for some parting words after the song.
Okay. All right. Let's hear this song, Before the Day, New Song.
Last night while I was sleeping, you were watching over me. While I dreamt about tomorrow, you knew my every need. Now another day is waiting for me to make it through, and there's no way that I could face it without you. Before the day slips away, I want to stop and say I love you, I love you. Before the world rushes in again, I want to stop and say there's none above you, there's none above you. I'll just be still and know you are God. Be still and know that you are God. There's something about the morning, the stillness of it all, that calls my heart to hear you. When you gently call, now another day is waiting for me to make it through, and there's no way that I can face it without you. Before the day slips away, I wanna stop and say I love you, I love you. Before the world rushes in again, I want to stop and say there's none above you, there's none above you. I'll just be still and know that you are God. Be still and know that you are God. Whisper softly to me.
Praise God. That's a beautiful song.
That
what do you
is.
Think, Michelle? I've never heard that. That was a great
no,
song
me either.
By New Song. You know, we've been talking about this topic today of how we need to renew our strength and that God promises us that he will do that. And do you have some final thoughts for us? I know you need to go, and we've talked about some really interesting things today, like drowning. So and being the lifeguard, the resident lifeguard on board here.
Yeah, and balloons and all that. Jazz,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's been interesting. Yeah.
Well, you know, my final thought was, you know, I think Tim Tebow was just a remarkable person who affected so many young people's lives.
Right.
And what he always put on his eye black was, most of the time, he always put Philippians 4:13.
Mm-hmm.
I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Amen.
And, you know, Catherine mentioned earlier in the show that it's not just about not having these things happen, but to get through these things.
Yes.
He brought me to it.
Yes.
He brought me through it.
Yes.
So... and that's what it's all about, is if we could just embrace that.
Right.
That whole piece of, I can do all things. I can
Amen.
Get this mental breakdown. I can, you know, like,
yeah.
feeling of overwhelming and this anxiety attack, you know. I can do all things through him who
Praise God.
Because that's surrendering yourself and
yes.
making the choice that, you know what, it's not about my strength. It's about his strength within me.
Amen. Amen. And that's it. And when we surrender and say, okay, God, I can't fix it. I can't change it. I'm in a mess, and God, I give it to you. And we wait expecting him to move and patiently waiting on him. He does work in our lives, does he not?
He does. And, you know, I have to witness to that. He has moved mightily in my life. And I still face challenges and obstacles day to day, and I'm learning how to defeat those. I'm learning how to keep my eyes on Jesus.
Fix your
through
eyes.
The Word.
Yes, amen.
You know, so.
Amen. And we gave some great pointers about getting started, reading the book of John, getting into your Bible, and first and foremost, making sure that you are a child of the living God by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Before you go, Michelle, I'm going to ask you to repeat the sinner's prayer after me, because there might be someone out there listening who is not sure of their salvation, that if they died tonight, like happened to this friend of ours last night.
Mm-hmm.
If they died tonight, would they be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity? And if you listening out there today, my friend, cannot say with assurance that you would be in the arms of Jesus, please take a moment, repeat with Michelle as I pray, then she will say it, and you can repeat with her. Is that okay, Michelle?
Absolutely.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus.
I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That he came to this earth and died on the cross for my sins and sicknesses.
That he came to this earth and went to the cross and died on it for my sins and sicknesses.
I also acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord.
I also acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
And that when he died on the cross, he died for me.
And when he died on the cross, he died for me.
So I ask you, God, now to forgive me.
So I ask you, God, now to forgive me.
For anything and everything I've ever said or done.
For anything and everything that I've ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was sin in your eyes. That was sin in your eyes.
That was sin in your eyes.
And I ask you to forgive me and let me start this new life this moment.
I ask you to forgive me and let me start this new life in this moment.
I accept you now as my personal Lord and Savior.
And I accept you now as my personal Lord and Savior.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
All right, Michelle.
Hallelujah.
All right. I am believing at least one person prayed that prayer with us, Michelle.
Amen. I'm believing it.
Amen. Thank you so much for your time with us. And you're a real blessing to our body at Beacon of Hope. And have a good evening. And know that lives have been touched by your ministry, Catherine's ministry, today on the air.
Amen. And to Beacon of Hope, and for those of you that are listening, share this
with a friend. Go to our website and listen to it. You can listen to it at 1 a.m. in the morning or 12 noon in the afternoon.
There you go.
In your pajamas, your bathing suit, pair of jeans, and a T-shirt.
There you go.
We encourage you to spread the word.
Yes.
Jesus, because what the important thing is what we just said, is that more people know Jesus.
Amen. That's
Thank
what
you,
it's
Pastor.
All about. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
We're glad that all of you have listened. We are not done with the show yet. A few more minutes. And I want to take us, as we kind of draw all this together, I want to take us to the book of Philippians, which is nearby. If you are in Hebrews, go left in your Bible, a few books. And Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 6. Philippians 4, 6 says this, "Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns." I love that. I'm going to say that again. In the Message Bible, I'm reading from Philippians 4, 6. And here's what Paul says to the church at Philippi. He says, don't fret or worry. Okay, now that's a command to us. Don't fret or worry. And yet some of us are so used to fretting and worrying and living in constant upheaval and chaos. And God's word says in Philippians 4, 6, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Instead of worrying, pray. Now that's huge. That's four words in that sentence in Philippians 4, 6. Instead of worrying, pray. Wow. Prayer is just talking to God. We talk about it a lot around here on Living the Good Life, that so often people make prayer to be so much more difficult than it is. Prayer is just saying, God, hey, I need to talk to you right now. I got this problem, this issue. It's like having a conversation with your best friend. God wants to be your best friend. He wants you to run to him in the middle of the night when you wake up and you cannot sleep and you're worrying about everything. The God's word says, instead of worrying, comma, pray. I'm going to say that again. Instead of worrying, pray. Because that's what God's word says to us in Philippians 4, 6. Here's how we get strength, guys. We've talked today about the fact that life does bring all kinds of pressures and issues and problems and disappointments and hurts and pain. Especially when you lose a loved one, like we have just experienced here, knowing about two loved ones that have been killed actually last night in two separate situations. But, you know, when we are feeling so much pain in life, when it just seems like nothing is working the way it should, God's word says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. And that's just talking to God. Okay, God, here it is. Here's what I'm feeling. Here's what's going on. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Petitions and praises. You begin to praise God and you say, God, I praise you for who you are. We talked about this last week on Living the Good Life. We talk to God and we praise him for who he is. Then we thank him for all his answers and his promises in the word. And then we do something about it. We put those things to work in our lives. And Paul says here, let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Let God know your concerns. This is one of the keys to getting strengthened and rising up and not being faint or weak or falling and just giving up. When we let God know our concerns, then he takes those concerns. And here's what the rest of Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness or peace, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. Now, I've got to read that again in the Message Bible, because the answer here to our worries and concerns is to pray. And he says, when you start doing that and give it to God, before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness or peace, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. That's a promise in Philippians 4, 7. That is a promise. Before you know it, it's all going to come together for you, and you're going to realize it's all going to be okay. God will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. It's wonderful what happens when Christ begins to move the worry away and replace the worry with peace. So verses 8 and 9 of Philippians 4, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst. In other words, dear one, fill your mind with the positive things that God says to you and about you in His Word, the beautiful, not the ugly things, and begin to praise God. Put into practice what you've learned. And then He says, do all this, and God makes everything work together, will work you into His most excellent harmonies. Everything that needs to be done in you. We're going to play a song by Big Daddy Weave, What Life Would Be Like.
I wish I was more of a man. Have you ever felt that way? And if I had to tell you the truth, I'm afraid I'd have to say that after all I've done and failed to do, I feel like less than I was meant to be. And what if I could fix myself? Maybe then I could get free. I could try to be somebody else who's much better off than me. But I need to remember this, that is when I'm at my weakest. I can clearly see He made the lame walk and the dumb talk, and He opened blinded eyes to see that the sun rises on His time. Yeah, He knows our deepest desperate need, and the world waits while His heart aches to realize the dream. I wonder what life would be like if we let Jesus live through you. Through another pair of eyes, what if you could hear the truth instead of old familiar lies? And what if you could feel inside the power of the hand that made the universe? You'd realize that He made the lame walk and the dumb talk, and He opened blinded eyes to see that the sun on His time. Yet He knows our deepest desperate need, and the world waits while His heart aches to realize the dream. I wonder what life would be like if we let Jesus live through you and me. Yeah. All our hearts, they
God, I wonder what life would be like if we really let Jesus live through you and me. You know, that's what we've been talking about today. His strength, His life working in us instead of us trying to fix it all, trying to make things change, instead of just letting God work in us and through us and change us. And that's really what we've been talking about, because all of us have things in our lives that bog us down and discourage us and bring us to a place where we don't know where to turn or what to do about our situation. And God says he has an answer. God says, my word, his word is the answer. You got to open it. You got to get into it. You've got to find the answers there for you. They are there. We a lot of times we teach out of the Message Bible because it's at a translation at a level where we can all really understand it. That doesn't mean that it is better than another translation. It's just a little more, it's just a lower level, I guess, of comprehension, which is good. But if you don't have a Message Bible, whether you have a King James, New American Standard, whatever you have, the Living Bible, the point is get into it and open it and read it and begin to see what God says. So, we look at Philippians 4:4, if you have your Bible there, and it's up a couple verses from where we were a moment ago. Philippians 4:4, in the New American Standard and the King James, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And last week we were talking about that need to rejoice in God, to begin to praise him and thank him. And we even talked about shouting to God and just saying, God, I love you. Lord, I bless you. Lord, I don't understand what I'm going through, but I choose to praise you in spite of my circumstances. That is what Paul is talking about here in Philippians 4:4. He says, celebrate God all day and every day. He says, you know, now you say, wait a minute, how can I celebrate God all day? I've got a job to do. That's all right. That's not what it's talking about. It's just there are those moments during our busy day that we're driving down the road or we have a second to think and we can begin to praise God and celebrate who he is and what he's doing in our lives. And as you begin to do that, it will give strength to you because the word says you get strength as you begin to praise God, as you begin to rejoice in what he's done for you. So you celebrate God all day, every day. Paul says, I mean, revel in him. You know, in other words, get excited about God. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the master is about to arrive. He could show up at any time. And then the next verse is Philippians 4:6 that we read a minute ago, and I think it bears repeating. Listen to these words now. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And that's a huge way to work through the anxieties, the weariness, the disappointments, the discouragements. You let God know your concerns, and before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness or peace, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. I think part of what we've been trying to say to you today is weariness, disappointment so often is caused in our lives by worry and anxiety. And when we begin to really allow God's Holy Spirit to strengthen us, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And wait there means hope for God. Look expectantly for him. Patiently wait on God to move in your circumstances. Talk to God. Say, God, here's what's going on. And as you wait expectantly and hope in God, God begins to change your circumstances. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. In other words, you're not going to die. This circumstance is not going to get you if you choose to follow God's leading in your life and do it God's way, giving him your concerns, telling him what's going on, and asking him for guidance and wisdom and strength. I want to pray for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for all the listeners that have joined us across this globe. We thank you, Lord, for those that will hear this show at a later time. Let them be encouraged by the power of your word. Let them be encouraged by strength that comes from you, that you give them as they begin to give their burdens and their concerns to you. Lord, let them rise up this moment with wings like eagles. Let them be able to rise above their circumstances and be content in knowing that you have their situation firmly in your hands. So, Lord, we choose to trust you today. Every one of us that's going through hard times, we all are. We choose to trust you right now for the miracle provision, the answer that we need in our lives to move us forward, get us stronger in your faith. We choose to trust you, God, and we choose to believe that you will bring peace, comfort, wholeness to us in our time of need. So, Lord, for those that are aching out there today, they've lost a loved one, or they're emotionally a mess, or they're hurting financially, or they are diseased, whatever their need might be, God, we ask that you cause them to give you that need and to draw closer to you, because your word says when we draw close to you, you do draw close to us. That is our prayer right now, Lord, for all of these that have been listening to Living the Good Life this day. Lord, we trust you with their situations. Let them prompt them by the power of your Holy Spirit to give that need to you. That is our prayer for our listening audience this day. And so now, Lord, because we've asked you to do that, we trust you for the answer. And we begin to praise you and thank you that you are moving in each of our circumstances right now. And Lord, we ask that you give us strength right now. Renew our strength as we go forward into this new week. Give us strength for the days ahead, for the issues we're going to face. Give us strength in our inner man. Encourage us, Lord, by the power of these words, your word, this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're so glad that you have joined us today on Living the Good Life. And we are just excited to see God moving in our ministry that's a global ministry, getting ready to celebrate our 9th anniversary in October and as a ministry. And we're also getting ready, well, we've just celebrated our 3rd anniversary on this radio station, and excited to continue on spreading the word through this media and this means. We welcome you to check out our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Find out what we believe, what we stand for, what it's all about. It's all about where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. It is all about God's Word. Hope you've had a great time listening today. Tell a friend about Living the Good Life. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. By tomorrow afternoon, this show will be up there and all the others from 2010, and you can be encouraged by the Word of God. God bless you. We want to hear from you. You can write me personally, pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com, and I will answer you. Also, we forgot to mention today, but it's very important, we have a global prayer ministry. It goes around the world, and we have a lot of prayers on that team. The prayer team is getting larger all the time. If you want to be on the prayer team and receive the prayer requests, write us today at prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. If you want to just send a request but don't want to be a part of the prayer team, that is fine. Send your request. Prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. It is monitored all the time. Your request will be sent out along with the prayer to pray for that need. So God bless you. Every week, live, we are Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's been Pastor Marcia McAllister, as always, here live in the studio today with Michelle and Catherine. Leaders in our church, Michelle is a pastor with us now. God bless you all. We're glad you have joined us today on Living the Good Life. And guess what, dear one? It's not far to Jesus. Oh, no, it's not. Reach out to him right now.